Have you ever seen someone rescued from a fire? The Incredible Journey will take us through a special episode today as they share a powerful story.
And on today's episode of Wake Up With Hope, we will also have music and a special season of prayer. Join us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. You know, we're excited to be here and waking up with you.
We sure are. On this bright, sunny morning, we want to plant hope in your heart as you experience Jesus' love.
Amen. Did you know that today is National Decency Day? The point of this day is to spread the message of how a decent human being can lead to the overall progress of a society. So what does it exactly mean to be a decent human being?
Well, it includes 3 points. The first one is active listening. The second is better understanding. And the third is compassion.
All right. These are all great virtues, friends, and something we can all certainly aspire to. And we want to encourage you to move in that direction. And even more, you know, Jesus offers us even the hope of becoming compassionate people for the betterment of our society. So let's begin today by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1904, the third Olympiad of the modern era commenced in St. Louis, Missouri, marking the first time the Olympic Games were hosted in the United States. Originally slated for Chicago, Illinois, the 1904 Games were relocated to St. Louis to coincide with the St. Louis World Exposition. Similar to the second Olympiad in Paris in 1900, the St. Louis Games suffered from poor organization and were overshadowed by the current World's Fair.
And just as these games faced challenges and were overshadowed by these other events, we too may encounter obstacles in moments where our efforts seem insignificant compared to the grandeur around us. However, let us remember that God is always present. He's guiding us through every trial and tribulation. Even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, His light shines brightly, offering us hope and encouragement. And just as the athletes persevered and competed with determination in the face of adversity, let us press on with faith, knowing that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And just like the Olympic Games, our journey may have its ups and downs, but with God by our side, we can overcome any obstacle and achieve victory. So friends, let us hold fast to our faith, trusting in God's plan for our lives and embracing each other's challenges as an opportunity to grow stronger and closer to Him.
Amen. The Incredible Journey returns now with a powerful lesson on being rescued from the fire.
The 2019-2020 Australian bushfire season is now known as the Black Summer. It was a period of unusually intense bushfires in many parts of Australia, but especially in the southeast of the country. It is estimated that the fires burned 18.6 million hectares, or 186,000 square kilometres, destroyed over 5,900 buildings, and killed at least 34 people. According to a report by the World Wildlife Fund, 143 million mammals, 2.46 billion reptiles, 180 million birds, and 51 million frogs were affected. The findings were shocking and prompted scientists to declare that no other event anywhere in the world in living memory has killed or displaced this many animals. But from the ashes comes a wonderful story of a dog named Bear. He is a border collie, Coolie Mix, and was languishing unwanted in a rescue shelter until the University of the Sunshine Coast Detection Dogs for Conservation found him and trained him to sniff out and detect sick and injured koalas in the wild. The dog, Bear, became famous during the bushfires for rescuing koalas. Bear was able to lead rescue workers to many koalas before it was too late. But it's not only koalas that need to be rescued. Sometimes we can get ourselves into difficult situations, make poor decisions, and at other times are simply caught in challenging circumstances through no fault of our own. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the situation we find ourselves in, and we don't know where to turn. We live in a world that is ravaged by sin. Everywhere we look, there is pain and suffering, death and devastation. But we are never alone. In times like these, we can reach out to God, who is always there for us. Instead of leaving us to fend for ourselves, God chose to send a search and rescue mission to save us. God chose to send His own Son, Jesus, to this hostile planet in order to seek and to rescue all those who are mired in the terrible clutches of sin. If you feel let down and discouraged and feel as if you need to be rescued, then I'd like to recommend the free gift we have for you today.
Don't forget to visit hope.study for your free Bible study today.
It's time now to welcome the Let's Pray team as they lead us in a special season of prayer.
Hello, it is that time again. We are going to pray together as a community, and I'm grateful that we get a chance to spend this time together in the name of Jesus. It says in Psalm 34, 17 and 18, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Isn't that beautiful? He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen. Well, I almost feel like that's enough encouragement, but you know, I really appreciate when we're able to take the Word of God and prayer and put it together. So let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I am so grateful that your Word says when the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. Jesus, I am not righteous in my own right, only because of you. Lord, I try to make good choices each day. All of us do. We try, Lord, to walk in your ways and to grow and to surrender to you, Jesus, and to not walk in sin in any way. But we know that it's truly your robe of righteousness that covers us, that gives us any right standing whatsoever, because our best behavior is like filthy rags, Jesus. So just that very beginning of that verse, Jesus, I'm so grateful. I have a chance to be grateful. We all have a chance to be grateful because it says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. And you're what makes us righteous, Lord. So when we're in Christ, we cry out and you hear us. There's not more I have to do. I don't have to make it harder or make it about my performance or anything, Jesus. It's just all about you. And then because it's about you, you hear me. And then even then, it's still more about you, Lord. When we are crushed and brokenhearted, when we need delivering, when we need anything, Father, it's just you we need. And so, Jesus, I thank you that when we cry out, you hear us, that you deliver us from all of our troubles, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the delivering. Thank you for restoring us to you, Jesus, and to one another. Lord, I pray that you would restore broken relationships, first and foremost, between you and me, Jesus, between this entire community and you, and then each of us one to another, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would bind us together by the power of your Holy Spirit, and in your love, Lord, you would work out the struggles and the frustrations that happen from person to person. The ways, Jesus, where we're carrying hurt, Lord, and we're wearing it like a badge, where we nurse those wounds, Lord, and we think over them again and again instead of letting them go and saying, they owe me nothing. Because, Lord, what could they give us that you can't give us? I would rather receive your love and forgiveness, Jesus, and your healing than to wait to have it from another person. Lord, thank you that you hear us, that you deliver us from all of our troubles. No one else can deliver me from those troubles. Why, Lord, do we wait for somebody else to give us something before we're healed? Our healing isn't dependent upon them. It's on you. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that each one of us in this community, Lord, would choose today to release the people, the things, the situations that we're holding on to. waiting for somebody to give us or do something before we change, forgive, heal. And I pray, Lord, for your living water, your nurturing, your cleansing to wash over us, Heavenly Father, your word, your truth to feed us and to strengthen us, Heavenly Father, and to heal us in our relationships, Lord. I thank you that you are everything we need. Is it helpful, Jesus, when others participate with you and apologize? Oh, yes, Lord. And when we're able to receive that, I praise Jesus. But how much sweeter it is, Lord, to rely upon you for the healing that we need so that when that person does maybe one day come and apologize or there's some sort of mending that happens in the relationship, Jesus, that we're already whole and we can give that wholeness back. We can give the comfort we've already received from you to them. We can extend the forgiveness that we've already given them. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would really begin to understand and grasp that you're the healing that we need so that we can move in freedom and not in bondage to one another. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are our deliverer. Deliver us today from offense. We forgive today, Lord. We choose to forgive. Thank you for healing and restoring broken relationships, Lord. First with you and then with others. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I pray that you are encouraged. Oh, it can be so difficult, but Jesus knows how hard it is. He never skips over how you're feeling, but he does call us higher. So let's just trust him to walk us through the process. Amen. God bless you.
The Collingsworth family joins us now as they remind us that in God's hands, we have nothing to fear for the future. They sing, Fear Not Tomorrow.
In this age of uncertainty, questions come to my mind. What is waiting ahead for me and the rest of mankind? Is your future unsure? Are you dreading the coming dawn? A long day to endure. Fear not tomorrow. God is already there. He's charting.
hope you're finding our program worthwhile, friends. Don't forget to share it with one of your friends or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
And check us out on YouTube. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to our channel to keep up with us. We're going to come back shortly.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We're so happy you're with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 is sharing with us this morning.
Perception is an interpretation of reality. And sometimes we have a faulty perception. We're not sure if something is good or bad. I remember when I was 12 years old, my father went to study to Andrews University. And my mother crocheted some things that I could sell in the village around the university. And I would go to every house, and sometimes somebody would buy one item or so, and my mother would wait outside in the car. But one time, this lady was very interested. She asked me to take everything out of the bag, and I did. And I still remember, the whole bag was $55, the total. And this is many, many years ago, when I was 12 years old, obviously. And this lady said, okay, I'll take it. And say, which one? And she goes, all of it. And I was like, you're going to take everything that is in my bag, all $55 worth? And she said, yes. And then she gave me a little paper called a check, which I was not too familiar with because in Argentina, we didn't use a lot of that. And so I was like, did I do good or not? I left everything in my bag and she gave me a piece of paper. So I ran out of the car to the car where my mother was. And I was like, and she goes, how'd it go? I said, I don't know. Do we take checks? And she goes, yes, we take checks. Why? I said, I sold everything. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I sold all $55, which was a lot of money for us. First, I was like, maybe this is bad news. She gave me a piece of paper. But then my mother said, oh, yeah, this is the same as money. And I was, we sold everything. I still remember she gave me a little commission. It was a big deal for us, those $55 so many years ago. Sometimes we're not sure. Is it good news or bad news? And God makes a point to guide us to the right understanding of things. And even when we don't fully understand, he still guides us because he's in control of situations. In this story, the disciples are very confused. They don't know if what has happened is bad news or good news. Actually, they think it's bad news. And Jesus will guide them, will meet them where they are, and will help them in this journey of perceptions. Perception. There is a lot of journeys in the Gospel of Luke, and they're not just geographical journeys. They're actually journeys of perception, usually in a greater understanding of the situation, sometimes from the head to the heart, which is the longest journey all of us have to go through. So let's go to Luke chapter 24. Jesus has died on Friday, and now this is Sunday. And he has risen from the dead, but the disciples don't know that. So two of the disciples are going to a village named Emmaus, Luke 24 on verse 13. It starts, behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached. Now, he has risen from the dead. They don't recognize him. And he said to them, verse 17, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? And at that moment, they stood still, looking sad. I have a picture in my office here in our studios. It's a beautiful picture, and I want to show it to you. It's the road to Emmaus. It's Jesus walking with the two disciples, starting to explain that there is a different view of what they know. They think that he has died and that this is the end, but there's a different perspective. They think they have lost everything, but Jesus is going to tell them, I have gained everything for you. So let's keep reading. They stopped, and one of them named Cleopas, verse 18, says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and aware of the things which have happened here in these days? And Jesus answered in verse 19, what things? I always thought that this was Jesus' sense of humor. What things? Has something happened here this weekend, these last days? But then I realized that Jesus gave them an opportunity to give their version of the story, to tell him what they saw, their viewpoint. And so one of them, he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet. And then they said, and they crucified him. And we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. You know, I found several obstacles here in their mindset, in their perception. They have a limited perception. They're only calling Jesus a prophet, and Jesus was so much more than a prophet. They have this finality. They crucified him. This is the end. When Jesus had told them many times that he would rise from the dead, but they don't remember that. So limited perception, finality, the regret. We were hoping he would redeem Israel in verse 21, but he had redeemed the whole world and he was standing in front of them. But of course, they couldn't see that. And then lastly, their unbelief. They said to Jesus, verse 22, also some women among us amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. They had this unbelief. They were told that they'd seen angels and that Jesus was risen from the dead and they couldn't believe. So in their summary, it was, we lost everything. But Jesus says, wait a minute, let me explain this viewpoint. I always tell people that even when you don't understand God's hand, you got to trust his viewpoint, because there's another way to look at the situation. Sometimes we don't see it. And in this case, Jesus will explain it through the cross. He will say to them, no, I gained everything for you. And he guided them to a better understanding. Verse 25, same chapter. He said to them, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? It was necessary. You couldn't see it, but look at it through the cross. This was a plan. It was necessary. And look what he did. This is what Jesus did. Beginning, verse 27, with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. He took the Old Testament, all the scriptures, started with Moses, which means that he started from Genesis. The first five books are called the books of Moses, the law or the Pentateuch, the Torah. And he went over everything and says, see, remember this? It was talking about me. Remember the Passover lamb? It was about me. Remember the crossing of the Exodus? It was about me. The whole thing was a testimony that I was coming to die in your place. All the prophets, the Psalms, the law, they were all about me. And then it says that their hearts started burning. You can read the story. It's fantastic. Started burning because they started understanding. Then they ran back to the rest of the disciples, and Jesus met them there too. And he gave the same speech to the rest of the disciples in verse 44. And he said, all the things that were written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds that they could understand scripture. It was all a plan, Jesus said. It was a plan, and I fulfilled it. So put these glasses on and trust me, even when you don't understand, because heaven has a plan to redeem. And you know, when I was going through hard times in my life, I had a motto. I don't know the master plan, but I know the master planned it, and I am included. So trust God to guide you. Even when you don't understand, like the song says, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart, because he has a plan to redeem you, and he fulfilled the plan. He has saved you. So when you don't understand what's happening in your life, remember this. You're being guided. You are guided. So trust him. Put on those spiritual glasses and say, I'm going to trust my Savior who has the big plan and has fulfilled it. You are guided.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending this time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about us or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will have music, a devotional thought from John Bradshaw, dog tales, and more. You are sure to be blessed, so don't miss it.
And if you enjoy today's devotional thought, and you would like to learn more about what the Bible teaches and God's amazing plan for you, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Check out the website also. We're sure you'll find something just for you.
And before we go, we want to leave you with today's Bible promise. And it says,
for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23.
That's beautiful, isn't it? That in Jesus, God has given us the gift of life. And we can have eternal life if we follow Him and choose Him today.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, yes, Lord, we are inspired and encouraged to make a choice for Jesus, a choice for You, Lord. And we pray that today You would guard our hearts and keep us faithful as we go throughout our day. May You bring back to our memories the things that we listened to and found hope in. And I pray that You would give us the strength we need to make it through this day today. In Jesus' name, amen.